In today's episode, we are going to be talking about RPA, or robotic process automation. We have Bart Peluso from Blue Prism to discuss all things RPA. What is RPA? How does it work? And what's the future of RPA? So let's go ahead and jump on into this podcast. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Orange Chair Podcast. We are very excited about this episode because we have Bart Peluso from Blue Prism on the podcast today. It's going to be a great episode. We're going to be doing a deep dive into all things robotic process automation, or RPA. So if you're wanting to learn more about RPA, sit back and listen. This podcast is for you. So Bart, hi, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks so much, Alex. I'm real excited to be on it.
Awesome. Well, we're glad you're here, too. I just wanted to kick things off and learn a little bit more about, you know, who you are. How long have you been working for Blue Prism? And if you could give us a fun fact about yourself.
Sure. I've been with Blue Prism now going on 4 years. I began when there were about 50 people in the company, and now we have well over 1,000. So seen a lot of growth in my role running product and industry marketing.
Great. So, Bart, can you give us a fun fact about yourself?
In 2006, I bought and built and used a police car, and I never had a job in law enforcement.
Oh, wow.
What we did was we had a technology company that invented a new type of network called a mesh network. And we wanted to prove to police departments everywhere that all of their electronics could ride on this network at high speeds, video cameras and everything. So I went to a company called Havis Shields, and I bought a police car, and I built all the technology in it, and there it was, driving around in a police car.
Wow, that's amazing.
It was picked up by Fox News.
Well, great. Thank you for sharing that. But I do want to go ahead and jump right into this. So first and foremost, can you tell us what RPA is? What is robotic process automation?
Yes.
And can you give us some examples?
Yes. You know, a lot of people are asking that question. What is RPA and how does it work? Robotic process automation encompasses the design of a process and the automation of that process, as well as the reusability of it. The way Blue Prism works is a user sits in front of a grid and they drag and drop shapes onto a graph and connect them. Each one of those shapes represents a step in the process, like go to this website, and maybe the second step is fill in your credentials, and the third step is move over to this mainframe database and pull this piece of information, and so on and so forth. The end result is the automation of a very complex process that would take a person or many people a lot of time to execute, and we're automating that.
Can you give us just a great overview of what RPA, robotic process automation, is versus RDA, robotic desktop automation?
Sure. So in 2017, the IEEE created the 2755 standard.
Mm-hmm.
And they delineated the difference between robotic desktop automation and robotic process automation, as well as defining some other tangential technical terms such as AI and process mining. Robotic desktop automation is automating on a desktop device, a laptop computer, or a desktop computer using a recording mechanism. So if someone has to do a redundant task of, say, 1,000 things representing 1,000 different accounts, they would do the first one and hit a record button, and then the software fills in the variables and would automate the next 999. The two issues with RDA are, first, scaling. It's done at the desktop level, so it's independent to that particular user. Mm-hmm. When you scale out to 100 or 1,000 users, it's virtually impossible to manage.
Mm-hmm.
The second issue in the enterprise with RDA is the logging. When you're working on a desktop device, by definition, the recording is going to share the credentials. So the human being has a username and password that's shared with the bot.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates what we call a repudiation issue, because if something ever goes to court, you can't determine if it was the human that made the error or the bot. It's very light on the positive side and very easy to get started. Within 20 minutes, anyone with a credit card could get started with robotic desktop automation. Robotic process automation is centralized. Processes are assembled with Lego bricks. They're pulled together and built and expanded on in a central location. And they scale very, very well. We have customers that have over 1,000 what we call digital workers shared across tens of thousands of employees. The second differentiator on robotic process automation is the logging. With RPA, the digital worker or the software robot gets their credentials separately mm-hmm. from the human being, and they get them through a credential manager within Blue Prism or a third-party credential manager like CyberArk, which is what they use in the Pentagon. So then you have what we call non-repudiation, where if something ever goes to court, everything is documented. We now know what the person did and what the digital worker did, because their credentials are different. Those are really the two key differences,
mm-hmm.
but there are others contingent upon the scale of the deployment.
Okay. So I know you mentioned a digital worker. So what is, the advantage of a digital workforce, and what's kind of the difference between a digital worker and that process that's being automated?
You know, Alex, up until recently, we only dealt with a digital workforce, which is more than one software robot. But this year, we began selling onesies, if you will, and the adoption has been really strong, where people in smaller companies are buying one digital worker as a trial or to use in kind of a specific scenario. But a digital workforce is anywhere from 10 to 1,000 software robots. With Blue Prism connected RPA, the software robot is separate from the process. So earlier I spoke of dragging and dropping these items across a graph to mm-hmm. create an automated process. The digital worker is separate from that process. So therefore, one digital worker could have 1,000 processes or tasks to do based on the priorities that we give them in the software. And they'll do job number one, then job number two, then job number three. Or we can have 1,000 digital workers or software robots all doing the same process. And we actually have a customer that does that. They had one enormous thing that had to be done for hundreds of thousands of accounts, mm-hmm. and they lined up their entire digital workforce to do the work.
Wow.
But think of the workforce as more than one working in unison.
Okay. So, I just wanted to speak to that a little bit. So, how easy or difficult is it to build a robotic process automation solution, and then, change that solution? So, I know you mentioned just now that you have a customer that ended up having to change all of their workforce to do that one task. Is that an easy or a difficult thing to do?
Okay, well, first let's step back and look at the installation of the digital workforce. Blue Prism operates primarily on an enterprise scale with literally the largest companies in the world, American Express, Coca-Cola, Prudential, HSBC, which happens to be the largest bank on the planet. So the deployment involves a robotic operating model, and it does take some weeks to get everything up and running and integrated with all the systems that are found in a heterogeneous global IT environment. The processes can be built very simply or more complex. So, say you were to open a bank account or to respond to a price quote, I can probably build that process in Blue Prism within a few minutes. However, some of our customers have really, really complex processes that they've been working on and crafting and changing over the years. We have one customer that completely fulfills auto, home, and life insurance policies automated process. So, there's a delineation here between getting the digital workforce installed and kind of telling them what to do. It's not unlike hiring human beings, bringing them into the company, giving them, the task and the objectives of what to do can be very simple or it can be complex.
So, can RPA integrate with current line of business solutions? Are there any restrictions that come with that?
The short answer is no. The Blue Prism architecture, which has been installed in some of the largest financial institutions now for 19 years and counting, was designed to work with virtually everything. Because when you're building the process, first off, we're not using code. You're actually building the process using natural language. That process is built as if it was a human being. So say we wanted to build a process that took someone's information, went out to a mainframe to verify it, went out to a series of servers, and then did something on an external URL. If a human being could do that, then you can go into Blue Prism, building out each object or each step in that process the same way. Of course, there's going to be a few exceptions out there. iOS is one of them by Apple, but you don't see a lot of that in the enterprise. If there's issues where someone refuses to share their code or their interoperability, but thus far, with 2,690 customers, we have not seen a scenario where Blue Prism could not interoperate with whatever hardware or software infrastructure was within their data center.
So I know you mentioned that there's no coding involved when implementing Blue Prism RPA. So can you, speak to some of the, changes of how a bot can evolve with a process?
Yeah, first let me step back, if I may, Alex, and address the no-code. So a Blue Prism proper, a Blue Prism user creating an automated process, could be me, could be you, does not need to code, okay? However, through our digital exchange, we have connections to 350 plus APIs, and some of them get pretty complex. 150 of them came from Google Cloud. We have Microsoft Cognitive, and we have IBM Watson. And we're now using the terminology code optional, because if you're building a process and you go to the digital exchange, i.e. App Store, and you download an API to something extremely complex from IBM Watson or Google Cloud, then we call that code optional, because you can do some coding when you're building a process with that. With Blue Prism exclusively, right, and you're not using any of these extensive AI-related connections, then there is no code. But we're using the term code optional. You don't need it, but if you want to get really creative, particularly with AI offerings, you can.
So with that, you know, how if you were to code, you know, something for, you were to go get an API and you wanted to put that coding in, how, you know, easy is that to change a bot's process, you know, versus if you had a bot with no coding, so it's Blue Prism exclusive and there's no coding involved, how easy or difficult is it to change those processes?
Okay. Really good question, and it's probably contingent upon the semantics, the biggest, you know, question that we get in the field all over the world. I want to stop back and take a look at the terminology. You asked about digital workers and digital workforce. We use that terminology because the digital worker, the software robot, whether it's one or whether it's many, is separate from the process. The term bot is used to define when the process is the robot. That's what you see in the RDA realm, that the process itself is the bot. Okay. We use the term, you know, software robot or digital worker. But your question had to deal with the coding and the changing of the process. The best analogy, and this is a really gross analogy, Alex, is Lego bricks. It's Lego bricks. So let's say I wanted to design an automated process to verify, you know, your bank account information or something like that. I would build that out in just a few minutes, okay? And that might involve what we call five objects or visual business objects. That means five steps within that process. One of them is going to the URL,
okay,
the banking website. One of them is logging you in. You know, that's a separate step. And there might be three to five of those in order to do that simple process. Each one of those steps in Blue Prism is saved. And it's a building block. It is a Lego block. And it's saved in an inventory. Mm-hmm. The entire process itself is also saved. It's saved in an inventory. So somebody else working across the world can pull that out and add one thing to it, or go in and change it. Now, if they change one of those objects and they say, don't go to this bank's website, go to this bank's website, both of those objects remain. Now you have two building blocks there. So in short order, it's really, really easy to amend an automated process. What we found is that enterprise customers do better over long periods of time. So they start with really simple processes and they grow to get really, really, really complex. And we're seeing this in government accounts, and we're seeing this with financial institutions. And it's because they're, you know, it's like giving a kid Lego bricks. They start building one thing and they build on it over time. Now that impacts ROI, which goes back to your original question on the difference between, say, an RDA solution and a true connected RPA solution. With RDA, you know, when you're doing recording, you can get ROI within minutes. You download it onto your desktop and boom, you're off and you're running, mm-hmm. right? With Blue Prism using 1,000 digital workers across 4 continents, you know, in 20 countries and 200,000 people, it takes time to build up those automated processes. But the more you use it, the easier it gets, because your inventory of pre-built processes that are changeable, reusable, and your inventory of objects, building blocks, grows and grows and grows over mm-hmm. time. So we're seeing, you know, exponential complexity in the processes out in the field, which means your ROI increases significantly month over month, year over year.
Okay. So just to kind of, you know, jump off of that, so why now? Why are robotic solutions, why is RPA, the digital workforce, why is that a big deal now?
That's a good question. I'm going to take a moment to think. I think like every new technology, you kind of go through these phases of early adopters mm-hmm. and then early majority and then majority. The early adopters of RPA were the banks, the financial institutions. And, you know, we were working as a consultancy way back in 2001 with Barclays and Lloyds. And, you know, there was scenarios where financial institutions had to find another way to get things done efficiently and effectively, right? They were just looking for ways to get things done, to get more done, you know, with less people and less money. Over time, it hit the early majority because a lot of tangential technologies, such as artificial intelligence, and process mining and OCR, companies like Abbey realized that their technologies could be exponentially effective when they're used by a digital workforce. So you saw this adoption in areas of retail, insurance, medical, and the government. And then finally, the analysts woke up, right? So Gartner put out its first Magic Quadrant this year on RPA. And we actually coined that phrase, RPA. It didn't exist. And, you know, we're starting to see a crossing to the majority where, hey, there are now use cases out there of financial institutions and other businesses that have been using this for years, in some cases even decades, and it's proven. And now you have Gartner and Forrester looking at it and measuring it, and you have all these other companies that are building APIs that connect to it. So now seems mm-hmm. to be really the pivotal time, right? I believe we're, quote, crossing the chasm now, and we're seeing an explosion of adoption of RPA.
Yeah, so, you know, I know, like, it seems like, you know, RPA and digital workforce and all of that is the thing to have now, and it seems to be exponentially helping companies just kind of gain a grasp on their ROIs and just advance them in multitude of ways. But what does the future of the product look like? You know, do you have any ideas or any expectations of what you think the future of RPA could look like?
I do. I'm going to step back and squeeze in one more thought, though. There's also some misconceived negative connotation With 2,600 customers, we don't really have any that are replacing their headcount. You know, the concept of the self-driving truck putting all the truckers out of work. What we're seeing is the elevation in the workforce, where people are now freed up to do more creative work that requires human interaction, and let the digital workers handle the repetitive and the mundane. Even if those processes get complex, they tend to be repetitive and operations oriented. And then the employees are freed up to do the creative work that, you know, requires a human being. But moving forward to the future, what I see in the future, and we here at Blue Prism, particularly our Blue Prism AI labs, are working diligently to make that future vision a reality. What we see is the digital worker becoming more intelligent in terms of intuitiveness. And intuitiveness is based on data, the ability to access data, and the ability to process data. And we're starting to see that in areas outside of RPA as well. I mean, your mobile smartphone is getting smarter. When you're typing a sentence, it is predicting the next word based on perhaps your previous texts, right? It's predicting, you know, what's coming.
Yeah, based on like most used words.
Yeah, now, if we can get digital workers through in what we call embedded AI, an embedded intelligence engine, to sift through data really quickly, then the digital worker can see trends and issues and anomalies. Mm-hmm. And then they can take that anomaly and escalate that anomaly to a human being, right? So we're seeing, in the future, smarter digital workers that can be more deterministic in making decisions on what to do. That's what we believe the future is about.
Man, that sounds great. That sounds like it would be really helpful. Do you have any, you know, final thoughts that you'd want to share as we're kind of closing our time today?
I would just kind of reiterate that, you know, automation is not about replacing human labor. It's about elevating it. Mm-hmm. So instead of the human in the financial institution or the insurance company or the e-tailing company, instead of them doing a repetitive process, they're creating a better process and letting the digital workers do that repetitive operational work.
Well, I would say the future of digital workforce is bright, and that sounds really good. And I think a lot of times when you hear about, you know, just echoing what you said, when you hear about growing technology and implementing more and more intelligent automation solutions, it, you know, probably seems, oh, well, that means headcount will go down. But really, it's just about utilizing your people and utilizing technology and the resources that you have. So that sounds really awesome. And Bart, thank you so much for, you know, being on the podcast today. And thank you so much for coming and sharing all things Blue Prism.
My pleasure, Alex.
Well, that's all that we have for you guys today. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. The Orange Chair Podcast is brought to you by Keymark. If you liked this podcast, please leave us a rating, like, and subscribe to our podcast channels wherever you guys are listening to podcasts. And you can even follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and we'd love to hear from you. This podcast is produced by Greg Aiken, Clay Tootin, and me, your host, Alex Frazier. Until next time, bye guys.